Today on Compassion Radio with Bram Floria, we're going to dip into the archives and listen to a chat that the late, great Norm Nelson had with a good friend of the ministry, Jeremy Reynolds, who himself has recently gone home to be with the Lord. I'm Frank Montenegro, and I'm extremely honored to bring you part one of that look back. Here's Bram to start things off.
Friends, it's good to celebrate God's great saints. We all have something special to offer the kingdom, and we should never shy away from the thing that we know God is calling us to do, even when others seem to be so much more talented or equipped for the task. We are the stewards of the talents the Lord gave to us, nothing more and nothing less. If we think about it, though, we also have very special saints that have influenced us in some special way. Maybe they've encouraged us at just the right moment. Maybe they've shown, by consistent and quiet example, the right path, the path we're on today. Then there are others who are real trailblazers, the kind of people who on the surface don't seem to have much to offer, but are ablaze with some inner fire that just seems unstoppable. We talk about all these kinds of people on Compassion Radio because together they're changing the world, for good and forever. In fact, you are probably one of those kinds of people without even realizing it. Today and tomorrow, we want to bring you back a couple of years to a conversation between two verifiable trailblazers, our own Dr. Norm Nelson and a very unlikely hero of the faith, a drifter who earned a doctorate, an itinerant hippie who found a home with the outcasts, a faithful follower of Jesus who, to his dying day, led thousands and thousands to the table of togetherness, plenty, and peace. Many, many now call Jesus Lord because of the work of this man who was called home way sooner than we would have liked. Here's Norm to make introductions.
Well, our guest today on Compassion Radio is Dr., and I'm going to emphasize that, Dr. Jeremy Reynolds, who is the founder of Joy Junction in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Welcome, Jeremy, to Compassion Radio today.
Norm, it's an absolute pleasure speaking to you from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I just love New Mexico. I've lived here for 27 years in New Mexico. 23 in Albuquerque.
My goodness. Well, you know, Joy Junction is a very special place, a very special ministry. I understand it's the largest outreach to the homeless in the state of New Mexico. Is that correct?
Yeah, Norm, it is indeed. I began Joy Junction with God's help back in 1986. And the vision I believe God gave me, which is stayed the same as it was, but expanded, was to have a shelter, being not only to be physical outreach, so the physical manifestation of the love of Jesus Christ, where we keep the whole family together at one of the worst points in time in your entire lives. Traditionally, rescue missions, ministries for the homeless, they had to split the husband, wife, or the family, or it could be maybe a woman and a kid, a child, a man. This was a whole family. They had split. So I believe God told me, you know, that the family, the nation is the strongest church. The church is the strongest family. So keep the family together. 150 years ago, Norm, we had 150 people staying with us each night. Now, 5 years later, we have on any given night an average of 300 people a night, 60 or 80 of those whom are children. Wow. We're a faith-based ministry. And because we love Jesus, we proclaim his word, his restorative power to our guests. We don't take any federal, state, county, or city funding either.
You know, it's good that you're able to do that, because when you take that kind of money, there are strings attached, aren't there? And you want the freedom to do what God leads you to do, not what the state tells you you have to do.
You know, I couldn't agree more, Norm. And, you know, when I began in 1986, you know, people said, well, what's your budget? I didn't even know what a budget was back then. You know, I was like, well, I just wanted to love Jesus and pass his love on to the needy. But I just knew that I wanted the freedom just to share about Jesus, how if you have something lacking in your life, which maybe you're trying to fill up that hole in your heart, which I always call a God-shaped void. If you're trying to fill that hole up in your heart with sexual relations outside marriage, drugs, drinking, whatever, that if you turn to Jesus, he will fill up that hole in your heart, and he will become the entity whereby you can become the sort of person he created you to be in the first place. So we are very much a faith-based ministry. obviously we cooperate with, you know, with professional medication and professional medical services, psychiatrists, and, you know, also and so forth. But we say it's a very bedrock of what you live, and how you live should be your relationship with Jesus. Everything else comes after that. But Jesus Christ should be the foundation of anything and everything.
You know, Jeremy, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today is I've had the opportunity to read a great deal about Joy Junction. Assist Ministries, the Assist News Service, has carried many, many stories about Joy Junction. And, of course, you write for that wonderful news service. My wife and I both have a background in reaching out to people who are in homeless situations, street children, working in urban environments where the world is very cruel, where life is very difficult, where families are split up, and all of that. We have that in our ministry background. And we also have a bit of a background in New Mexico. We've spent considerable amount of time over the years, although this is quite a while ago, working on the Navajo Reservation outside of Farmington, up there in the northwest corner of your beautiful state. So much of what you're doing and the place where you're doing it really interests me. Jeremy, I want to say this about ministry to homeless people and about the services that you render. This is the kind of thing about which we can say without any shadow of a doubt that when we do this kind of ministry, we know that Christ is pleased with us. And the reason we know is that people who are struggling with the issues, with the problems that you're dealing with in the lives of the people that you minister to are precisely the people that Christ was attracted to in his earthly ministry, and we know his heart is still there today. So I love what you're doing, and I love the place where you're working.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I couldn't agree more. And, you know, obviously we believe, again, the relationship with Jesus fills up that God-shaped void. But again, it amazes me that some missions have like a, say, well, if you've been drinking, you can't come into our mission. This is not to talk badly, but any missions, well, obviously, we don't want people to drink. We believe Jesus Christ can and does set people free, drinking, drugs, alcohol, and so on. But you know what? We are a Christian ministry norm for the whosoever. Yeah. So if I ban people from coming into Joy Junction who have been drinking, I'm saying, okay, get clean first, and then we'll talk to you about the Jesus that can clean you up. That doesn't make sense to me. That's backwards. No. I wanted to say, come just as you are, with all your warts, all your messes, all your booze, and all your messes, and with his help, we will help Jesus clean you up. But if I don't let somebody in who's been drinking, I mean, it's sort of backwards, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I can't remember a single story in the Gospels, in the New Testament, where Jesus said, hey, I'll talk to you after you clean up your act. That's not the way he behaved, is it?
It was the very opposite. So what we do normally is we say, come into us just as you are.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram Floria.
Hi, friends. Summer can be an amazing time of adventure and discovery. But when you work in ministry, summer also represents something else, a real financial challenge. Now, we're not unique in that respect. Sustaining giving tends to drop in the summer months, and since we're a 100% listener-supported radio ministry, that means we have to pray hard, stretch our faith, and let our friends know the need. If you've ever been inspired by anything you've heard on Compassion Radio over the past weeks and months, we need to hear from you right away. We need to know that you're praying for us and supporting this one-of-a-kind media ministry. Let us know how much we've meant to you and help us meet our goals for outreach and special projects. You can do that with your gift today. Thanks so much. I look forward to hearing from you soon.
If you'd like to support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 right now or go to CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478. Or CompassionRadio.com. If you'd like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
We are a Christian ministry norm for the whosoever.
Yeah.
So if I ban people from coming into Joy Junction who have been drinking, I'm saying, okay, get clean first, and then we'll talk to you about the Jesus that can clean you up. That doesn't make sense to me. That's backwards. I wanted to say, come just as you are, with all your warts, all your messes, all your booze, and all your messes, and with his help, we will help Jesus clean you up. But if I don't let somebody in who's been drinking, I mean, it's sort of backwards, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I can't remember a single story in the Gospels, in the New Testament, where Jesus said, hey, I'll talk to you after you clean up your act. That's not the way he behaved, is it?
It was the very opposite. So what we do normally is we say, come into us just as you are. You know, obviously, we have, you know, insurance issues to cope with and legal issues. So if somebody is so drunk that they can't come up on the van or climb the van steps, we can't take them in that night. Maybe they'd be better suited to go to somewhere else. But if somebody has been drinking, we give them a bed, we give them a cup of coffee. And then we talk to them about Jesus and his, the ability to medically detox the next morning and invite them to join our very much faith-based life recovery program called SIP. The Christ in Power program, which is based upon a wonderful Bible published by Tyndale House called the Tyndale House Life Recovery Bible,
which has
every verse is applied to recovery, or as recovery is applied to every verse. And it is wonderful Bible. It's the one I use for my own study.
Yeah, that's right. Jeremy, I think as people listen to you, they can detect a slight accent, and they can tell that you probably didn't originate there in Albuquerque. Tell us just briefly a bit about the story of how you came from the UK to Albuquerque, and this ministry really was given to you by our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, Norm, you like stole my thunder, because I was going to tell your listeners I was from Texas, but now you wouldn't believe me.
We wouldn't believe you.
You wouldn't. Well, you know what, Norm, I was born in England. I grew up in a pretty privileged background. I went to a school in South England called Claysmore School, where the Beatles' former manager went, a guy called Brian Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, he committed suicide, and I was of the opinion that, you know, that having a relationship with Jesus or Christianity was for young kids or for old ladies, you know?
Yeah.
I was very arrogant and just didn't have anything to do with religion, Jesus, God, the Bible, because I thought, hey, I'm too smart to believe the Bible. How arrogant is that, right, Norm? And so one day, though, I was invited. This was back in late 1975 to a small church in Bournemouth, England. And I went for the young girl. You know, God uses young ladies to rope us guys in, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
And then a few weeks later, it was so funny, Norm, because the pastor comes up to me. I was like the first new person they'd had in that church for years, months maybe. And he said, do you want to do something about it? I'm like, he didn't want to tell me the gospel because they thought I may run away. I'd be too scared. So I said, no, because I didn't know what it was. And so I had taken some mock trial examinations a few weeks later, did well, and God was beginning to deal with me. And I thought, you know what, if I'm going to continue coming to this church, I need to be intellectually honest, and I need to see if there is more to this Bible thing than I anticipated. So you know what, Norm, for the first time in my life, mid-January, the end of January 1976, I bought a copy of the Bible, and this is entirely in line with God's Word. And because God says, if you seek me, you will find me. And he promises us, if we seek him with our whole heart, he will respond to our longing, right?
Absolutely.
And so I said, God, I read a copy of Good News for Modern Men, put my mind and heart in a frame and in an attitude that God could deal with me, because I was willing to hear him. And I said, God, if you're real, speak to me in a way I can understand. You know, Norm, that was all God was waiting for.
Yeah.
I had one supernatural experience in my life, and that was the letters on the copy of that Good News for Modern Man. This is the first six or seven chapters of the Gospel of Luke. Stood up, Norm, like they were like 6 feet tall. And at that point, God gave me supernatural faith to believe the Bible. But I was still not a Christian. But a week later, I was reading a copy by a wonderful Anglican clergyman who's since gone to be with Jesus called David Watson.
I know David Watson, absolutely.
wonderful man, and he said, basically, you know what, if you have never accepted Jesus to be your Savior, you're going to hell. So that was not a funny subject, but that's not a funny issue, but I thought, oh dear, now I believe the Bible, I have no excuse. So at that time in my parents' living room, at the end of January 1976, I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved, come into my life and save me and become my Lord. And that was 33 and a half years ago when I was 18 and a bit years old. My poor parents, Norm, were like horrified. Well, my mother was. She was a good, upright Anglican lady. She was a good lady, but she was not a believer at that time.
Yeah.
She thought I'd gone off the deep end. And so a couple of years later, I saw God telling me to come to the States. And, of course, my mother was even more horrified because she said, now you've gone off the deep end. You're going over to the colonies.
The colonies.
The colonies. And she said, it's dangerous it's dangerous in the United States. I can't do the English thing anymore, Norm. And so I came to America in 1978. I believe God had placed a calling on my life to ministry. Had $50 in my pocket and a one-way ticket. And landed in Orlando, Florida in 1978. By the time I got from Miami to Orlando, that was in the days of Air Florida, when it cost $20 to get from Miami to Orlando. But I was staying with a local minister there, and I had $20 in my pocket by the time I got to his house. And I was scared stiff. And so that was back in 1978. Again, I had a calling in my life to be in ministry. But you know what, Norm? Sometimes what happens, I'm a very, human beings are not patient, and I am not patient. So I said, well, I got married in the next year. And I said, well, Lord, you called me to be in ministry. I'm going to be in ministry right now. But I neglected that training period that the Lord had for me. Just like when he called David to be king, there was that waiting period, that training period.
Yes, absolutely.
So I ended up being homeless a couple of years later. Some folk that was very arrogant, very sort of like a young person who thought he knew everything, like many of us do when we're young. I remember telling the Lord about my ministry, and I distinctly recall the Lord saying, yes, son, it's your ministry. When you give it back to me, I'll make it my ministry, and I'll fund it, I'll support it, and I'll anoint it. And so I was homeless, had a family in Florida, they would take care of my now ex-wife and kids, and they said, when your husband gets some common sense, tell him to come and see us, you know. But ended up going out to, you know, the thing, go west, young man. Ended up in Santa Fe, New Mexico in early 1982, found a wonderful pastor called Carl Conway, runs an international ministry now, has a ministry of getting young aspiring ministers on their feet, giving them a chance to really do something for the Lord. And I had a ministry in Santa Fe for 4 years called His Place Coffee House. Took 4 days off in 4 years, got two front teeth punched out by a drone. Still hadn't gotten through thinking I knew everything, Norm. So I told the Lord, don't tell the Lord you won't, because he has a sense of humor. I said, Lord, I'll do anything except, all right? Except start a ministry and run a ministry for the homeless. Well, guess what?
That was your mistake.
And began Joy Junction back in 1986, now 23 and a bit years ago. That's a really condensed version.
Well, you know, I emphasize the word doctor because I knew a little bit about your story. And to think about going from homeless to a PhD in intercultural studies from Biola University, that is an amazing story. That's what we call a God thing. Jeremy, I loved hearing the story. You have written now several books, I believe three. The latest one has just been released, if I'm not mistaken. At least it's relatively new. Tell us just briefly about this book.
It has. We have a series of three books, and there'll be more forthcoming as the Lord gives the ability. We wanted to do more. We discovered that people, Christians more so than ever, were very judgmental about their perceptions and attitude towards many of the homeless. Basically, it was like, you know, you have homeless Norm or homeless Jeremy on the street. The attitude was, give Norm Jesus, give him a Bible verse, and by golly, he should be back on his feet again. When you didn't make it, I discovered many Christians were writing you off and going, well, if Norm has enough faith, if Norm was able, if Norm was really willing, Norm would make it. So I thought, something wrong here. We should not be throwing that sort of negativity and negative attitude. We should be telling people about what Norm has gone through to bring him at the stage to where he is now. Maybe rape, abuse, abandonment, self-esteem issues, all these issues. Yeah. And it was a wonder that you're even able to stand up and come to a homeless ministry.
Yeah.
But I thought God was telling me, through a series of little vignettes whereby we could tell Norm's whole story. We could tell how that when Norm and you and your wife and kids came to Joy Junction, we encouraged you, and we basically wanted to give a face to the faceless and a voice to the voiceless, because God has given me those gifts and skills of communication for a purpose. He holds me accountable for what I do with them. So I wanted to use those skills to tell the story to the homeless, to tell the story to the needy, and to say, you know what? If you're a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, if you name the name of the Lord, not only do you have a societal responsibility to reach out with the love of Jesus, you have a biblical responsibility not to judge this person, but to foment a relationship, just to reach out and to say, you know what, Norm, I don't know what's been going on in your life, but Jesus loves you. Not to judge, and it may take 10 years for you to come to know Jesus, but we have a responsibility not to judge, not to write off people, but just to share the tangible, visible love of Jesus.
I'd like for you to just take, say, about a minute, if you can, and just speak to those who are listening about the challenge of ministering to those who are homeless and what they might be able to do in their community to minister in the name of Jesus to people who are caught in that terrible circumstance. Give us about a minute there, and then I'd love for you to give your web address so that people can find out more about Joy Junction and perhaps, and I would recommend it highly, order a copy of one of the three books that you've written as of this moment. Would you do those two things for me, Jeremy?
Absolutely. Well, you know what, folks, it's just like everybody is called to a full-time life of missionary service. We are called, I believe, to go on at least short-term missions trips. And it's the same way with ministry to the homeless. You may not be called to run a homeless ministry, and there are significant challenges in doing it. You have to have patience, God's patience. But I believe all of us are called maybe to share and show the love of Jesus. You can support your local rescue mission. Wonderful organization, Norm, a national organization your listeners, our listeners, can go to called the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions. Go online to Agrim, AGRM.org. I would get the phone number, but they've just changed it. They moved from Kansas City to Colorado Springs. AGRM.org, and they will give that website will give the name and listing and contact number of a rescue mission in your in your area. And folks, go down to your local mission, support your mission, pray for the director or CEO, and just see if you can maybe serve a meal at the Thanksgiving, Christmas season. And just get involved. You will see the homeless are not those people, but they are people who basically live for the grace of God, though you and I.
Jeremy, also give us now the website of Joy Junction so our listeners can consult that.
It is joyjunction.org. You can, of course, access our direct link to Facebook and Twitter through joyjunction.org.
Jeremy Reynolds, thanks so much for being with us today on Compassion Radio.
Norm, it's been a pleasure. God bless you.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now today, when you support Compassion Radio financially, we're going to send you a copy at your request of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms and Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy at your request today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.